I think you could tell, hopefully, from the songs that were picked today as to the message that we'd be going over today, which is the cross. And the opening scripture is in Colossians chapter 1, 19 through 23. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they may be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and reprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof Paul I am made a minister. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we seek you. Your scripture says, ask, seek, and knock. And I just pray right now that the hearts are opened to receive, Lord, that they are seeking. They're seeking you, Lord. Flow through me. Give me power, Lord. Give me your Holy Spirit through me. Speak through my lips. That revelation may come to the church body right now, that they get a vision of the cross, that it gets burned into their eyes and into their heart, and they move not from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Your will, your way. Amen. I titled this sermon, Do You Know the Cross? Have you seen the cross? And that it's not a sermon of points. It's a sermon to discuss, for you to hear the passion and to see and to hear about the cross. And I hope that your hearts are opened to be changed forevermore, to get a hold of that vision that he did. It's not just the cross. I mean, that's... You could probably tell when I was worshiping up there, that song, Sweetly Broken, as I was singing that song, I started to cry. You know, the feelings, the emotions that were building up inside me, because I studied this all week, and I'm getting my mind set. And that's why I told you guys last week, you have to come into church. You have to be ready to receive. Prepare your hearts. And God has given me revelation inside it just to see this beautiful thing that happened at the cross. It all started there. It all ends there. So get a vision today. Get a vision of this passion. The Passion Week. I want this to be set upon you that every day this week and forevermore you are just, you grab a hold of this revelation. Set us afire. I'm going to be going in between the New Testament and Isaiah 53. So if you want to open your Bibles to get set on Isaiah 53, and then we're going to go through primarily Matthew, and I'm going to be reading a ton, guys. But I just pray, I pray your hearts just be open to receive. Listen and receive on good ground, on good soil. In Isaiah 53, this is a vision of the promise of what to come. Isaiah, actually, the prophet of old, this whole scripture is about Jesus. And he says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him." He wasn't a beautiful man. "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and he was acquainted with grief," our grief. "And we hid it as were our faces from him. And he was despised, and we didn't esteem him. Surely he bore our griefs, and he carried our sorrows. We did esteem, we plotted to stricken him. Smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised or crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." It says that all we like sheep have gone astray. We all have gone astray. "We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." And that you have to hear that part. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned our own ways, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. So what does that mean? That means we are the offenders of the cross. We are the perpetrators of the cross. It is because of us the cross had to be done. Because we went astray. We didn't seek him. We went our own way. We our own desires. And so the Lord put his iniquity on him. Our iniquity on him. "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter." This is awesome. When you start seeing, when we get into the New Testament, as we read through this, how the scripture, the prophecy becomes fulfilled. Hallelujah. It is just awesome. "And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, and so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth." And this one just hit me like a ton of bricks when we were singing that song. "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." And bruise in the Greek is to crush. It pleased the Lord to crush him, his son. "He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin," our sin, our sin. "He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many." Hallelujah. "For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Transgressors, that is awesome. Wait till you get there. He makes intercession for the transgressors. I'm going through this because it's not just the cross. It's not the cross and, oh yeah, and that's where Jesus died. And yeah, there was three men up there. One was Jesus, and then there was the two thieves. It's our cross. It's my cross. He died for me. He died for you. You have to get a hold of that. It's not just the cross. It's mine. My cross. He was pierced for my transgressions, for my sin. I can't do anything for that. He made atonement for me, for you. And so we go into Matthew. Turn over to Matthew 26. And as we're coming in, this is just after Jesus came in, and it's Palm Sunday today, but we have to go under the cross because that's where it is. But he came in, came in and he rode on a donkey and they put down palms and they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. Only later in the week was he going to be crucified. And Brother Ed talked about this with communion today, and it said in Matthew chapter 26, and I'm going to pick it up into verse 19, and the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. One of the 12, who he spent years in ministry with, was going to turn his back against him. Think about spending time with people and then just someone just turning their back and just stabbing you in the back. And I want you to get a vision of Jesus. I want you to get a vision of what he's going through this process. Take out your own eyes and put it through the eyes of your Savior. Look through the lens through Jesus' eyes as to what was going on here. Put yourself in his shoes if you can. And they were exceedingly sorrowful and began every one of them to say, Lord, is it I? And he answered and he said, He that dips his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. And the Son of Man goes as it is written beyond, but woe unto that man whom the Son of Man has betrayed. It had been good for that man as if he had never been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said. Deception. Deception right there. Judas, is it I? Think about times when you know you are doing something wrong and the Spirit's convicting you and the Lord just confronted Judas right there. And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. Do you understand what was about to happen? He already knew what was coming in place here. Take, eat my body. He broke the bread. I'm going to be broken for you. For you. In a few short hours. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to him. And he said, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many the remission of sins. Hallelujah. His blood atones for our sins. He was and is the only sacrifice that is going to be needed for all time. For us. For those who receive it. They be covered in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Hallelujah. 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 I cannot wait. And they had sung a hymn afterwards, and then they went to the Mount of Olives. You guys following me so far? How's your heart? How's your heart right now? Are you receiving the vision? Are you starting to get what's going on here? You may have heard this before, but I promise you, if you just continue to receive in your heart, not your mind, there will be revelation here. Then Jesus said unto them, and here he goes, All you shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I think that's where he's going, God will smite the shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. So Jesus is telling them of the plan. There is a plan here, men. God's divine plan. This is what the prophets of old were talking about. This is what Isaiah was saying. This is what John the Baptist was saying in John 1:29. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. This is what the 33 years have been about. This is the plan. Embrace it. The plan is coming. It's all unveiling right now. And I'm telling you, the shepherd will be smite and the sheep of the flock will scatter. But after I am risen again, I will go before you in Galilee. And Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. His number one, his lieutenant, his number one of the 12 was going to turn and deny him. The one who walked on water with him. His most trusted, the closest to him, was going to turn his back on him, deny him. All that they've seen, I just think about like the 12, all that they saw, and they just turned. Can you imagine? Some of you have been betrayed before or denied. Take it. Understand what happened here. And Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. And likewise said all the disciples. All the disciples said this. Then cometh Jesus unto a place called Gethsemane. And I want you to go back into Isaiah and just listen. Remember, it said that, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise. And again, in the Greek, bruise was to crush him. And so we're on the Mount of Olives, and Jesus chooses the Garden of Gethsemane. And do you guys know what Gethsemane means? In the Greek, Gethsemane means oil press. So here, Jesus is on the Mount of Olives, surrounded by olive trees. And he chooses Gethsemane. Oil press. And what would an oil press do? So they would take the olives, and they would take a heavy stone, and they would roll them on the olives to crush the olives and the seeds, so then the oil could flow. Hallelujah. Oh my gosh, you just hear that? He would crush the olives and the seeds so the oil could flow. Do you know what oil is a representation of? The anointing. Hallelujah. So Jesus chooses the garden of crushing. And he says, I know I got this plan, but he says, I'm about to be crushed for them that I love. And he said unto the disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. He's saying, I'm going to sign off on that plan now. I have to agree to my Father's will. This is it. This is the time. So I choose the garden of crushing. Oh my gosh. And he took with Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, who were James and John. He began to be sorrowful and very heavy. I've felt the weight of the world on my shoulders, and this is just a fraction of what he had. He was about to have the whole weight of the world, our sin, every man's sin laid upon him. It had to be tons. And he said unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And I just love how the gospel just kind of, it's all in harmony. And I want to, before I keep on in Matthew, I want to turn over, because in Mark 14, 32 through 36, he says, And they came to a place which is named Gethsemane. And just build that into your head, Gethsemane, garden of crushing. And he said to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he takes with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he said unto him, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry you here and watch. And he went forward a little, and he fell on the ground. And he said, If it was possible that the hour might pass from him, he said, Daddy, Abba, Father, Daddy, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will. Not my will, but thy will. Are you saying that yourself? Do you realize what he's done for you? that you want to say, not my will, but thy will, Lord. We'll pick it back up in Matthew. And he went a little farther and he fell on his face. Have you ever fallen on your face? We sang that song at the cross, and here I bow down. And I meant that when I said, you will all bow down. You will bow before him. The scripture says every knee will bow. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he came unto the disciples, and he found them asleep. And he said unto them, Peter, could you not watch with me 1 hour? So the ones who said, I won't deny you, I won't turn my back on you. And he's saying, I'm going to sign off on this plan. I'm going to pray, and I'm feeling very heavy. Can't you just stay with me? And they passed. They just slept. Watch and pray that you enter not in temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. You got to crucify your flesh every day, guys. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. He didn't want to be crushed. He wanted another way. But God said no. And it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise and crush him in Isaiah. And he came and found asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and he left them and went again. And he prayed the third time, saying, Then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Now is the time. It's coming. So then he says to him, Rise, wake up, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he spoke, there comes Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave him a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, the set same as he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And I stopped and I thought, God gave me revelation yesterday when I was finalizing my notes. I didn't have any notes here on it. I said, wow, to get a kiss of betrayal. A kiss is an act of love. Only this was betrayal. See, the world's show of love was displayed here, and it was betrayal. You are not of the world, right? God was going to show us what real love was on the cross. It's called agape love, sacrificial love. So here Judas kissed him, showing a sign of worldly love. And Jesus is saying, no, I'm surrendering now. I'm going to show you what real love is. I'll show you what real love is. And Jesus said, Oh, friend, where art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. So there was this like commotion suddenly, trying to stop which was happening. And Jesus said, Put up again thy sword in this place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. And I love this. Thinkest that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? See, maybe earlier I said he's in the garden of Gethsemane, and I said that he had to sign off on the plan. He had to agree. He was agreeing. Remember, Jesus is part of the Godhead. And he's agreeing to be the sacrificial lamb for you and I. And the reason why he had to agree is because he just said it here. He said, I could pray to the Father right now and the legions of angels could come to my rescue. In John 19:11, when he stands before Pilate, he says, Jesus answered, he said, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it was forgiven thee from above. Hallelujah. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath greater sin. That goes back to Isaiah and the Father's will. The Father's will was to crush him for you and I. Jesus gladly said, "Not my will, but thy will, Lord. Take me now. It's time. It's time." But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? And in the same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, "Are you out come against thee, a thief with swords and staves, for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you didn't lay hold of me. It's kind of interesting, you know, just came to me, is when the Lord comes back, you know, men, Satan, Lucifer, the Antichrist, they're all going to have their swords, man's swords, in commotion, trying to fight the Lord. And the Lord is going to speak with the true sword out of his mouth and defeat the enemy once and for all. And he did that on the cross. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. There we go. He's talking about it right there. All this is to be done so that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples, here it is, all the disciples forsook him and fled. The 12, we already know Judas betrayed him, and now the other 11 fled, scattered abroad. They were with him. They saw the miracles. They saw all those things that happened, and Jesus was telling them all along, speaking in parables, giving them understanding. And he told them, he just broke bread with them a few hours before, and he told them the plan of what's going to happen. And they all said, "No, no," and it came to fruition anyways. They scattered and fled. So he'd be forsaken by his loved ones, and later on the cross, forsaken by the Father. And they that laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed them afar off into the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants. And now the chief priests and the elders, all the council, sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Through many false witnesses came, yet they found none. See, they were finding reasons they couldn't, because this man was without fault. At last came two false witnesses and said, "This fellow said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee?" But Jesus held his peace. Remember what was happening in Isaiah 53. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He held his peace. It says right there, Jesus held his peace. And as the high priest answered unto him, "I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said unto him, "Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Amen. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, "You spoke blasphemy." Oh, no, that's not blasphemy. "What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now you have heard this blasphemy. What think you?" They answered and said, "He's guilty of death." That's us. Remember, we were perpetrators and offenders of the cross. Yeah, we weren't back then, but we were just as guilty. The blood was just as much on our hands. "Then they did spit in his face and buffeted him. And others smote him with the palms of their hands." He spit in his face. They disrespected our king. How many people turn away from the truth, the gospel? It's like they're spitting in his face. You know the truth. The truth has set you free. Live in that truth. Don't spit in his face. Don't turn away and live for your own desires. Live for him. Turn over to John chapter 18. in verse 37. And now he's brought before Pilate. And he says, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king." And here it is. "To this end I was born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." You guys have heard the truth. You cannot be ashamed. You must be emboldened to share this truth. We are sheep, and the sheep hear the shepherd's voice. He said, "I was born for this very reason, that I will bear witness unto the truth." Back in Matthew 27, verse 22, Pilate said unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And the crowd said, they all said unto him, "Let him be crucified." Let him be crucified. Why crucifixion? They wanted him to feel the pain. It's a struggle. Just to be crucified, you actually have to like lift up to breathe. You stretch, you strive to breathe. And he's on the cross. First he was beaten and he was scourged. Crucifixion, they wanted him to feel the pain. They wanted to make a mockery of him and just for him to suffer for us. In 27, verse 26, "Then released he Barabbas unto them." See, they had a choice. They had a choice, just as all of us have a choice. And they chose a man of the world. The Jews rejected him because they wanted a conquering king. They wanted a military person. That's who they thought the Messiah would be. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And get a hold of this now. After they released him, they scourged Jesus, and he delivered him to be crucified. Scourged him. That means they whipped him. They flogged him. Have you ever seen The Passion? The movie The Passion? It's a great portrayal of what he went through. His flesh was ripped. The scripture says, "By his stripes we were healed." Stripes, he was getting flogged in the back. Ripping his flesh off every piece, every time he got hit. That's from you. From me. He took that upon him for us. And after that, the soldiers, the governor, took Jesus into the common hall. After he's beaten and he's already weighed down and is just spent, they stripped him and they put him on a scarlet robe. And they platted him with a crown of thorns. They pressed down into his head. They pressed it down, beat into his skull. I can't imagine what that was like. I've pierced my fingers before with rose thorns. Can you imagine what that was like? And these weren't just little rose thorns. These are thorns like this that were woven and just pressed into his head. His blood is already flowing. And they put a reed in his right hand, and they bowed before him mockingly. And they said, "Hail the King of Jews," and they spat on him again. And then they took the reed, and they hit him on the head. And after they mocked him, they took the robe off him, and they put his raiment, and they led him away to crucify him. Brian, can you come up and play, please? Don't be offended or upset when you are persecuted for Jesus' name's sake because you're set apart. The ridicule, those people who mocked him are going to stand before him in all his glory. What do you think their answer will be? What do you think your loved ones who don't know Christ, what do you think their answer will be? Those who persecute you and they ignore you for the truth that you want to share because you love them. What will they say? What will they say? They will stand before the Lord on the day of judgment. They will stand before Him. They will have to give an account. So He's taken away to be crucified. And in Luke 23, verse 39, and one of the malefactors which were hung railed on Him as He's on the cross. This is, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. This is one of the thieves. But the other answered and said, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive due reward of our own deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And so he looked over to Jesus and he said, remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus turned to him and he said, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. See, even in the cross, even on the cross, you see two distinct people. You see one who feared the Lord. Amen. One who feared the Lord. The other just wanted to be saved. But when the day of the Lord comes, there will be those who will hope to be saved, but He will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. It was too late. Remember me. I fear you. I fear every action if it's not in you. And in Matthew, back in Matthew, in 27, verse 46, it says, at about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This is it, folks. This is it. This is the plan that was underway from the garden to here. And this is where God's wrath and His glory and His grace and His love and His kindness, they all collide. On the cross, it just, bam, collides. How beautiful for us. For us. Oh my gosh. His wrath on Him. His glory. His love. Why have you forsaken me? The Father turned away. Turned away. He couldn't look upon Him. He couldn't look upon the sin, our sin that He took upon Him. And then back in Luke, he says it was about the sixth hour. And there was darkness all over the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened. And the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And Jesus had cried with a loud voice, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. And when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. He got a hold of the truth right there. He got a hold of the truth. Do you see what he did for you? Do you? Can you feel it? Picking back up in Matthew 27, verse 50 through 54, Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. What does that mean? What does that mean? Pick it back up in Isaiah 53. He bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The veil was torn. The veil was to block for the holiest of holies that only the priest could go in to make atonement. And Jesus is saying, I rent it from top to bottom because I have paid the price for you. He is our mediator now. He is our intercessor now because you have accepted Him. And the earth did quake. These are miracles that happened as He died on the cross. I find it amazing that the earth quaked because Jesus was the one that spoke it into existence. And when He died, the earth quaked. It groaned. He who spoke it into existence, it shook. Wow. and the rocks rent, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. And they came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And that's been my prayer all along as I've been teaching today and reading to you, that you saw that this was the Son of God. You saw what the cross really was. Do you have a vision of it now? Can you see? It's not just the cross. It's my cross. It's your cross. Jesus died on that cross for me. He was my substitute. I could do nothing. It was a gift freely given. If you just close your eyes, I pray, Lord, that the hearts and eyes have been opened to see the cross, to be not ashamed. That they stay at the foot of the cross where victory has been given, where the curse was broken. That we live to serve you every day. And that we shall not be moved. That we stay rooted in you. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. You are dismissed.